Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX and David Martin Davies. Texas Senator Ted Cruz, he's the talk of the nation, spoke for over 21 hours on the Senate floor, blasting the Affordable Care Act for much of that time. And when he was done, the freshman senator didn't defund the ACA, but he did raise his political profile, solidify his right-wing base, and tick off a lot of liberals and a lot of Republicans, so it wasn't a complete loss. Joining us to talk about this is senior political editor at The Atlantic Magazine's Grons Frankie Ruta, and also Cal Gilson, professor of political science at the Southern Methodist University. Welcome to The Source.
It's good to be with you.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Grons, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, people are talking about this guy. Is this what he wants, right? Is this the plan?
Yes, he absolutely wants to be talked about. I mean, he is basically working with the outside the Beltway groups like the Heritage Foundation under former Senator Vindman, who has been going around the country and organizing this grand froth of anti-Obamacare energy. And he's leading the charge in the U.S. Senate against it.
So the Heritage Foundation, I remember it used to be this very thinky, you know, they came up with a lot of great ideas for the Republican Party, and they were implemented by Ronald Reagan. Not so much now anymore. They're kind of like have skewed over more to the Tea Party Express type of organization. Is that, you know, how is that working for them?
Well, I think it's working well for them financially so far. I mean, there is energy on that side. And I think if you look at some of the sites that have been put forward, like Cruz and Mike Lee site on Don't Fund It for Obamacare, they're gathering names, this is a great opportunity to gather contacts for future fundraising efforts and to become, bigger powers within the Republican Party. DeMint was already involved in helping Cruz get elected. He was, involved in helping someone like Marco Rubio get elected, and Rubio and Lee were both supportive of Cruz during his quasi-filibuster this week.
Marco Rubio was MIA. He was not there during the quasi filibuster.
Well, he was much praised during it.
Okay,
there's this whole section in the remarks where he was praised.
Right. So, Cal Gilson, Professor Gilson, how do you think the media is doing in covering Senator Cruz's whatever he's doing?
Well, I think the media is always good at covering car wrecks and house fires, and this is in that category. I think that, as was said, Ted Cruz has been in the Senate for only 8 months, and he's vaulted to a high visibility. And his goal in this 21-hour filibuster was to solidify his position as the face of the Tea Party in the Senate. Because if he plans to run for president in 2016, he's going to be contesting that Republican nomination, maybe with Marco Rubio, maybe with Rand Paul of Kentucky, another senator. And so he has to both work with them, but also get around them and get in front of them in time for the Tea Party to reward him if he tries for higher office. And I think he did achieve a lot of that goal. But there are other constituencies out there, other groups watching, and many of them are rolling their eyes and wondering if this guy is just over-the-top hype or whether there's actual content to him. And I think that that judgment has not yet been made.
Our phone number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your comments to thesource@tpr.org. Professor Gilson, there are a lot of people are trying to make comparisons between the quasi filibuster of Ted Cruz and the actual filibuster of Wendy Davis, and say, well, hey, Wendy Davis, she got all this love from the media, and Ted Cruz, he's not getting it. So that shows there's media bias.
Well, I think it shows that they were different circumstances. Wendy Davis, in her 11-hour filibuster, was the spokesman and the public face of her United Democratic Party here in Texas. The entire party wanted to stand against tightening the abortion regulations, against a United Republican Party that was in favor of it. The Cruz circumstance overnight yesterday and into this morning was a very different deal in the sense that he was representing the Tea Party elements of the Republican Party, but the establishment wing of the Republican Party was just beside itself trying to figure out how to say he was bringing energy and attention to an issue that needed both of those things, but in a way that was endangering the longer-term interest of the Republican Party in its electoral success in 2014 and 16, because if it led to the shutdown of the government, the institutional wing of the Republican Party thought they would take the blame. And so they were certainly of two minds about what Cruz was doing. And I think most people looking at it think that he was engaged in a fairly self-serving exercise. And if he was helping anyone besides himself, it was the Tea Party element of his party to the exclusion and maybe the detriment of the rest of the party.
So Granz over at The Atlantic Magazine, do y'all think that Cruz had this is a plan, that he's got stage one, stage two, stage three, he's working this plan, or is he just improvising and coming up with these headline grabbers on his own?
Well, he obviously has a plan. His staffers sort of cautiously sent the word out a couple of days before he took to the Senate floor to let people know things were coming and to help activate big networks of people to put pressure on other Republican senators through phone calls. In fact, there have been reports of staffers who staff reception desks in the House and Senate, you know, bursting into tears because the ferocity of the messaging that they're getting has been so intense. But I do want to say that just, you know, Marco Rubio was involved in speaking with Cruz on the floor during this filibuster-type attempt. And, you know, I think what we're seeing is these emergence of these guys who are using the Senate less to legislate than to basically be pundits with ambitions towards 2016. Rubio has actually put a lot on the line for immigration reform. Cruz, you know, has decided that he's going to be Mr. No in the Senate. And, you know, if he went to Iowa right now, he would easily win Ames. There are Republican straw poll there, if they even do it. There's some debate about whether they'll continue doing it. But I think he looks at the bases of the people who vote in Republican presidential primaries and sees that, you know, if he could rally a grassroots Tea Party type population during those, he might have a shot, at least in places like Iowa and South Carolina, less so New Hampshire and Florida probably.
Right, but turn the clock back. Last time we had these straw polls, I mean, it was people like Michelle Bachmann winning those things, and exactly.
And so this is the question. I mean, the Tea Party movement was kind of hit or miss. I mean, it was successful in electing some people. But then, you know, you look at Sharon Angle in Nevada and you look at Christine O'Donnell in Delaware, and there were seats where, if you know, like Delaware, if the Republicans had had a credible candidate there, they would have won that seat.
Yeah, they've lost five Senate races in the last two election cycles that they thought they should have won. All right, we're going to continue our conversation about Ted Cruz, his filibuster, what it means for the Republican Party, what it means for keeping America funded, keeping the government from shutting down. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We'll get to the phones. We come back from this quick break. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He represents me. He represents you up in Washington, D.C., and he is doing a fine job of it because he's getting a lot of attention. If you want to call in, join the conversation, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're going to go to the phones right now. Let's get Gilbert on the line. Gilbert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
How y'all doing today?
Doing great, man. Go ahead.
My question was, y'all are discussing Senator Ted Cruz, and I have to say that I believe the media is very biased on this part, and I think that the Republican Party really needs to wake up and see what's going on with the American people. The American people want this. They don't want Obamacare. They're shoving down our throat. Senator Cruz is doing the right thing, and the other Republicans are cowering, and the Democrats always say, if something happens, it's going to be the Republicans' fault. If the government shuts down, it's going to be the Republicans' fault. Well, you know what? Let the government shut down. Let the Democrats take some kind of responsibility here, because they refuse to work with the Republican Party. And they blame the Republican Party on every issue. They refuse to accept any blame for anything. When are they going to wake up and really work with the Republicans?
All right, Gilbert, thank you for those call. We appreciate that. So Professor Cal Gilson, Gilbert is, he's the voice of many people out there thinking that Ted Cruz is doing a great job and that that the government shut down, he says, in order to stop Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, from being funded.
Well, I think that when the Affordable Care Act was passed a couple of years ago, the Democrats with Barack Obama had just won presidential election, Obama's reelection, and had large majorities in both houses of the Congress, and they passed the Affordable Care Act. That usually means that an act passed by Congress, signed by the president, will be implemented relatively smoothly, and the opposition party, in this case the Republican Party, might call for revisions on it. They might work across party lines to get the elements of the act that they most dislike changed. But we are so divided as a nation, and Gilbert, I think, is part of that. There are Democrats who are equally convinced that it's all the Republicans' part, and they should just work with the Democrats. So I think Gilbert is representative of a lot of people out there, but there is another very large group of people, I think, that expects the two political parties to find a way to work together and to deal systematically with issues. I think everybody agrees that the Affordable Care Act could use some revision, but you can't get a discussion started on revision when the Republicans are voting 42 times to defund and delay it. So you can't really get a civil conversation about policymaking going in this Congress, so we're at loggerheads.
So Gilbert, obviously, Grand's Frankie Ruta from the Atlantic Magazine, he is part of that base that Senator Ted Cruz is appealing to, and they're behind him 100% now.
Yeah, no, look, there's no question that Obamacare, when presented to people in polls, is unpopular. When presented as Obamacare, when it's presented as the Affordable Care Act, it's less unpopular. I think, you know, it's also important to take into consideration that some of the people who don't like it are people who would like it to be more comprehensive rather than people who would like it to go away. So there's unhappiness on both sides. Some people want more rather than less.
Yeah, we hear that all the time, people don't want Obamacare. They don't want this because they cite the poll, and it's like something like almost 55% or something like that against it. But there's 13% of that are the people who say they want single payer. They want a different solution to getting affordable health care out there.
Correct. And I would like to just make sort of one point for listeners, which is I think important to understand. The debate that's happening right now in Congress is not about getting rid of Obamacare. It is, as far as I understand, the law of the land upheld by the United States Supreme Court. Defunding the federal government will not end the law. It continues to be in effect because it is a law passed by Congress, upheld by the Supreme Court. Unless the Senate goes Republican and the president agrees, you know, to basically not veto something, you know, it's the law for now. It's going into process. A lot of the funding for it is handled through ways other than, you know, what's being considered right now. And its enrollment is opening on Tuesday, and it's in process. It's been in process for 2.5 years. And, you know, I just think this debate, oh, it's suddenly going to go away because, you know, we decide to shut the government down, doesn't take into consideration what's really happening with the law.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones now. The number is 614-8980. Ernest is on the line. Ernest, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment to make. I listened to what Senator Cruz spoke about, and the reading of the bedtime stories to his children. I think that his whole purpose was self-serving. It doesn't serve any of the citizens of the state of Texas or the United States. And furthermore, I believe that the people, the president, the House, and the Senate, I think these individuals that are supposed to be representing the American public, they're supposed to be the greatest minds in the country, the greatest leaders, and yet they can't sit down and come to a solid agreement for the good of the American people. That tells me that all of these individuals are self-serving and none of them should be representing the American public.
All right,
and
Ernest.
That's just how I feel about that.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate you calling in. And so reading bedtime stories during the discussion on the Affordable Care Act, people need to tell someone that Dr. Seuss is not a real MD, that it doesn't really – it's not really about that. Grant's, you know, there's a different point of view. He was very much he's not – he didn't fall for the Ted Cruz. He's not going to join that fan club.
Well, you know, Ted Cruz doesn't represent, quote, the American people. He represents the citizens of Texas. They elected him. You know, there are people who were elected by other groups of people who think differently. And that is the great beauty of our democratic system.
Right. So it's not about being the smartest or getting the – it's about getting the most votes when the on election day, and that gets you the ticket.
Our democracy is organized around a geographic principle. Like, that's the central fact. Like, you know, it's about where you're from and who the people in your community are. And I don't doubt that Ted Cruz represents a lot of people in Texas. There's no question in my mind that he does.
Okay, let's get another caller on the line. Bill. Bill, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I got on the show a little late today. I just wondered if anybody mentioned the fact that if they don't straighten the mess out in the Congress right now and the government does shut down or we default on our payments, all those of us who are approaching retirement are going to lose a lot of money at the absolute worst time. It happened in 2011. My accounts are back to where they were before that, but I lost 2 years of growth. I'm 54, and this kind of stuff, I mean, they're playing with our future. And they're not solving problems. It's just disgusting.
All right, Bill. And hopefully this won't, you know, take a bite out of your investments. We'll see what happens. But I think people are pretty, you know, they're not. They realize that there are folks like you that are depending on these things, and hopefully that won't get there. Appreciate you calling in. So, Professor Gilson, you know, Bill's he's an economic realist. This is, you're talking about my future here. The grandstanding ideology is fine until it hits that point.
Well, I know where Bill's coming from because I'm 10 years ahead of him and watching the same sad scene that he is up in Washington. But there are two things going on. One of them is a continuing resolution that has to be resolved by the first part of next week to keep the government funded and open and going. They may just do a continuing resolution for a couple of weeks or a month to give themselves a little bit more time. But the real emergency pressing deadline is more like October 17th, the middle of the coming month, when the debt ceiling is reached and the government can't borrow more money. Taxes provide a good bit of the revenue, but a good 25% or so is borrowed money, and we have a total debt of something like $17.6 trillion, which is about the same size as the GDP annually. So it's a big number. Republicans are loath to increase the debt ceiling, but that debt ceiling simply allows us to pay bills that we've already incurred in past years. So I think that's going to be the really big fight. I think Republicans are looking for a way to get the continuing resolution passed, but think that they can tie to the debt ceiling maybe a delay in the implementation of Obamacare, maybe the oil pipeline from Canada to the Gulf Coast, and a bunch of other Republican goals, and Obama will bargain with them over that. So I think we're in for a couple of weeks of real uncertainty. Markets were up a little bit today, down the last week. It's going to be very choppy going forward, but just hang on, Bill.
So, Grants, we talk about the blame game. Who's going to get blamed for this? And it reminds me, like, you know, one time there was some guy, he was out hunting in Texas, and he shot his shotgun and hit somebody in the face. And there was the blame. Well, whose fault was it? Was the guy who pulled the trigger, or was the guy who put his face in front of the shotgun? It's kind of like you got chocolate in my peanut butter, or you got peanut butter in my chocolate. Who's going to take the blame if the government shut down?
You know, I think Democrats suggest that it will be Republicans at this point. And I think there's a lot of Republicans who are concerned about that as well. I don't think Republicans want to shut the government down. You know, people don't want to crash Wall Street and damage the housing market and or shut down parts of the government that people have come to rely upon, even if they're not considered, quote, essential. And I think that's a bipartisan reluctance. But there's a decided caucus within the Republican Party that thinks that this is worth taking a stand on and hurting a lot of people in the process.
All right, Grimes Frankie Ruta. She's the senior political editor at The Atlantic magazine. Also on the line, we've got Cal Gilson, professor of political science at Southern Methodist University. We've been talking about Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and in 5 years, we get another chance, Adam, if he decides to run for reelection. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.